end of 1 year, coming into a brand new year. We're leaving a year full of sin. We're leaving a year which had some difficulties in our church. We're leaving a year that brings us 1 year closer to the return of Jesus Christ. We're coming into a year as we see more prophecies fulfilled right in front of our eyes. Coming into a year needing to get our own house in order that we may then draw others to Jesus Christ, to his cross, who will then gloriously save them. Seeing the need to pray all the more to fulfill our call to bring people to that same Jesus Christ and get them saved before he returns and it's too late. Now, we're looking at Daniel today. Daniel is a man often looked at for faithful prayer. He went to the lion's den because he prayed faithfully 3 times a day. Because he prayed so faithfully 3 times a day, when he was thrown in the lion's den, the lions enjoyed his company. And then after he was released, they dined on his accusers, showing the power of God, showing the power of prayer, showing the faithfulness that allowed Daniel to be either number 2 or number 3 in 4 different heathen kingdoms. And then he saw the return of Judah to Jerusalem. A faithful man, Daniel had studied the scriptures faithfully. Doing so, he was reading in Jeremiah about the end of the 70-year exile, about when Israel would then return to build the temple. Now, doing so, he would also read in Isaiah that Cyrus was the king that would allow that to happen. But we're going to see a little bit of confusion in Daniel's eyes. We're going to see a little bit of confusion as Daniel looks at the truth of Scripture because it doesn't match the current situation, and also the fact that Israel was not living up to its end of the bargain. Now, seeing this important passage of time, he saw that Israel was not righteous. He saw that Cyrus was not king, but Darius the Mede was king. Doesn't match what Scripture said. He desired Israel to be right with God, and asking for mercy, he focused not on Israel's righteousness, not on his own righteousness, but on the righteousness and mercy of God. He didn't understand all that had to be done, but he knew how to find out. He knew whom to go to, and he knew he had to be right with God in order to obtain God's mercy. So, as we look at how to pray, as we see the soon return of Christ, as we see things happening in front of our eyes, as we see prophecy fulfilled right in front of us, and we realize that he wants to use us to bring forth that great thing, we need to know how to pray. And we'll look at Daniel today to understand exactly how to pray. He saw Israel returning to Jerusalem. We see Christ soon returning. A new year coming in is a good time to learn how to come to the throne of grace, to learn how to be used of a great and mighty God. So turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9. We're going to read the first 19 verses, and then we're going to read a little bit further after that. So in Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord, Lord God, to seek by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned, and have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which we set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord washed upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hath gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not, for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Dear Heavenly Father, we see a nation blessed. We see a nation that was set up as a nation of God's people. A nation that then rebelled against the very God that had blessed them so and received the just judgment. But Lord, in that judgment, you also gave them hope. You also gave them mercy. And that is what Daniel is talking about, Lord. We see in the United States today a nation established by God to glorify God, to serve God. And Lord, we have never been perfect, but we hearkened to thy word. We no longer do that. We are in the same situation that Israel was in, Lord, and we are suffering in the same way. And Lord, as we look at your soon return, where you will make all things right, Lord, we know from your word that it's going to happen. We know from your word the time of the signs and the signs of the time. And Lord, it is near. We don't know what near is. And Lord, we want to see this nation be righteous once again. We want to see this country turn to you. But Lord, we need to learn from Daniel how to pray about that, to admit our part in the sinfulness of this nation, to admit our part in not leading correctly, in not relying on you, in allowing this nation to turn its back on you and to suffer because of it. And Lord, let us learn from Daniel how we need to pray for this new year, that we might be used in a great and mighty way to see your mercy for your righteousness' sake, for your will's sake. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. This prayer is called by many the model prayer of the Old Testament. It was cited by Bible study. Bible study and prayer have to go hand in glove. Bible study will excite prayer as it did in Daniel's life. Prayer will then excite Bible study as God will give us his answers through his word. And if you're lacking one, you are likely to lack the other. If you're doing well with one, the other one will follow. Now, Daniel had both, and God blessed his faithfulness. He received an answer to prayer immediately, and it wasn't the answer he was looking for. It was far greater than the answer he was looking for. He was asking for wisdom. He didn't understand what was happening. But as he was driven to his knees in prayer, because of his study of the word, look at God's answer. We're not going to read the whole thing. We're just going to read chapter 9, verses 20 to 23. And whilst I was speaking and praying, and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whiles I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Isn't that something you would love to have God tell you? You are greatly beloved, and I am here to give you wisdom and understanding. You get that by doing what Daniel did, by study, by prayer. Now, Daniel didn't get the direct answer he was seeking. He got something far greater. He was blessed with a vision directly from Gabriel about the 70 weeks. The 70 weeks is setting out the entire timeline for all eternity. Now, he was given the fact that once what he read about, where Israel would return to Jerusalem at the end of 70 years, that would start the timeline. And he was given the fact that at 69 weeks, Jesus Christ would be cut off, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Messiah was Jesus Christ. Because when he rode into the temple area on an ass and the foal, a colt of an ass, that was the end of the 69 weeks. There's a reason that the observant Jews did not study Daniel much, because they can't deny that Jesus Christ is Messiah by it. So Daniel was given this wisdom. And he was also given wisdom by the 70 weeks to understand that the 70th week has not happened yet. The 70th week is still to happen. And now we see wisdom being increased. Romans 1, Matthew 24. And all the prophecies of the Old Testament and New Testament show that the 70th week that Daniel was given is about to commence. We need to learn to pray like Daniel, that Daniel can bless us with wisdom, can bless us with a call, can bless us to do the things he would have us to do the way he did with Daniel. Now, how many here want to just go back to the room and not be used by God at all? I hope it's not too many here. If you want to be used greatly in 2018, you can be exactly like Daniel. Seek his wisdom. Seek his power. Seek his mercy. Focus on God's will and glorify God for who God is, not for who you are. I'm sitting here preaching because I'm assigned to do that. God assigned me. No greatness in me. I have to look at God, and I have to realize that I'm part of the problem. I'm part of the problem of this sinful nation. So in Daniel's prayer, we see a prayer motivated by the same thing we need to be motivated by. First of all, the Word of God. Second of all, the will of God. And finally, the glory of God. So, the Word of God. We see here Daniel trusting God, trusting exactly what God wrote. He's reading and trusting the Word. He understood he was reading future history as if it had already happened, because he knew that God could not lie and God would not lie. He also knew math, and he also knew the political situation, and it confused him. Reading in Jeremiah 25:11, he saw that Israel would serve Babylon 70 years. Reading in Jeremiah 29:10, he saw that at the end of 70 years, God would cause Israel to return to its place. Praise God. He's looking at this. At the end of the 70 years is coming very quickly. He had also seen Israel try to destroy the Word of God. Jehoiakim of Judah was read of the captivity to come and their eventual return. But Jehoiakim had not wanted nothing to do with it. Yeah, the return's great. I don't want to go into Babylon. So he burned the scrolls. God had Jeremiah rewrite those words that Daniel could then read them and understand them and pray to God about them. Now, Daniel trusted God fully with a proven track record, but he had some confusion. Verse 1 shows Darius the Mede was king. What's the problem here? I see that at the end of 70 years, we'll be returning to Jerusalem. I see it has nothing to do with our righteousness. It has to do with God's promise. It has to do with God's mercy. It has to do with God's forgiveness. But I'm reading Isaiah 44, 21 and 28, and it talks that Cyrus would be God's chosen vessel to allow Judah to return to Jerusalem. I also see that Israel is still practicing idolatry. It is still rebelling against God's holy word. It is still not doing the things that God judged them for. So, Cyrus is not king. Has God changed his mind? Has God left Darius there because he has chosen to not honor his part because we have not honored our part? Would God keep his promise with Israel even as Israel did not honor God? Well, there's some confusion there and some righteous confusion. He's looking and he can't make sense of the situation. So he comes to the throne of grace in high distress. He comes with prayer, supplication, sackcloth, and ashes. That is a man in big distress, not understanding what he's reading, understanding the timeline, understanding the promises of God, but looking at the promises not matching the current situation. He shows he understands his need to honor God in verse 4 by saying that God keeps his covenant with those that love him and keep his commandments. And he admitted Israel had not done that. He admitted his own fault in Israel's chastisement and showing how far he fell short of a holy God, wondering, is he part of the problem here? Showing he relied on God's mercy and not his own righteousness in front of that holy God. God cannot lie. I see your promise. God, please accomplish your mercy and show me how it will happen. I'm reading of it. I understand your righteousness, but God, it's not matching what I see in the world today. Show me what I need to do. Show me how to understand. Daniel knows he's not God. He comes in distress. He does not see Cyrus on the throne. Well, what happened was Darius the Mede took the throne from Belshazzar in 538 B.C. After Jeremiah prayed his great prayer, Darius died. Cyrus took over the throne in 536 B.C. and wrote the words that Daniel had understood in Jeremiah. Praying for understanding in a small thing, God gave him much more. No, God's timeline was going to roll out right in front of his eyes. He was going to be given the answer, but he gave him so much greater. He gave him the timeline for all eternity. He gave him the 70 weeks of Daniel, showing that at 69 weeks after the temple was to be built, Jesus Christ would come as Messiah, be rejected, and then there would be a timeline for the church, and then the 70th week would happen, which has not happened yet. You want to be shown great things? Be faithful in small things. Daniel was very faithful in a small thing. He wanted to understand. He wanted to be part of the solution. And he knew he could only do so by going to God and understanding what that solution was. Now, he knew that God's word would be accomplished. Well, I know that God's word is going to be accomplished. I know Jesus Christ is going to return. I know the 70th week of Daniel is going to happen. I know that there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ. I know that at the end of that, there's going to be all eternity. Why bother praying? We know all this, right? We do so because it pleases, honors, and glorifies God. Turn over to James chapter 5, verses 16 and 18 for a second. James chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. This was the drought that God had Elijah bring to Ahab for judgment. If you look back at it, we're not going to go there, but if you look back at it, you will see that God told Elijah exactly what to pray that his will be done. Elijah prayed exactly what God told him to, and it happened exactly the way God said it would. God then said, go pray for rain, Elijah. Elijah did, and it rained. Well, God knew he was going to do it. God had Elijah do it to show that Elijah was relying on God's faithfulness, was relying on God to do these things, and to show Ahab that Elijah was God's man. We pray not because God can't operate without us. We pray to honor and glorify that God. We pray that God may use us to show others exactly who he is and to show us that we are relying on his word. Now, I can't do anything. Could Elijah make it stop raining? No, he couldn't. God had to do it. But God had Elijah pray that it would happen. And then God honored that prayer because Elijah was obedient. And Elijah wanted to show God's power. So, the Word of God is what causes us to come to our knees to pray. We need to look at the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and realize God is sovereign. His word will be done. We now have to pray for the will of God. Daniel would not have prayed this prayer at all if he had not read Jeremiah. Now he prayed a long prayer that the will of God would occur according to the word of God. Now, he was very righteous. He was recognized as a perfect man. He was recognized as one they could not attack because he lived so righteously. He wouldn't have prayed this prayer at all had he not looked at the word of God. But now we understand the will of God. Israel will return to Jerusalem. Now, not once in this prayer will you find Daniel claiming his own righteousness. Not once will you hear Daniel claiming Israel was worthy of God's promises. Daniel offered no excuses, explanations, or rationalizations about the sins of Israel. Just plain, transparent confusion and confession. That's all he gave. Look at the reasons God shouldn't keep his word. Verse 5. We have sinned, committed iniquity, done wickedly, and rebelled, departing from the precepts and judgments of God. Verse 6. We did not hearken to God's prophets. Verse 8. Kings, princes, and fathers sinned against God. Verses 10 to 11. They did not obey God's voice and transgress his laws, deserving all judgments included in all the law of Moses. Verse 13. We have not repented of our sins. Verse 15. We have sinned and done wickedly. Verse 16. Sins have made us reproach to all nations. All of this meant that we are receiving exactly what we deserve. So, I am praying for the will of God, not because of our righteousness, but because of your word and your will. And I need to know what I need to do to bring that will about. Every request in this prayer is based on God's will and God's mercy. Mercy does not claim a right. Mercy does not claim you deserve anything. Mercy asks for God's grace's unmerited favor, giving his favor upon a nation that does not deserve it. His prayer is 100% God-centered, based on God's will for God's purposes. Daniel was asking for a pardon for their sins. A pardon indicates an understanding of guilt. A pardon is accepting the fact that the guilt is wiped clean. It doesn't say there was never any guilt there. It means that God has pardoned and taken away that guilt. And he's asking for it based on the mercy shown by the will of God to end the judgment against Israel. As we look at the second coming of Christ, let us look at God's will being done for us in 2018. We need to be like Isaiah in Isaiah 6:5 when he was called. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Does that apply to us today? I see a lot of unclean lips out there. I see a lot of people cursing God. I see a lot of people not living for God at all. And yet I want to be used by God like Daniel wanted to be used by God for the will of God to be accomplished. We know it's going to be accomplished. Do you want to be a part of that? You need to be praying for God's will to be done through you. And like Isaiah, that scares living daylights out of me. I can't do it, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And I want to glorify Jesus Christ before he returns, that people can be drawn to him. Let God be God, and let us come to him praying his promises will occur, not based on our righteousness. The rapture is going to happen. If you are a believer in God, the rapture will happen. You will be called to him. In the twinkling of an eye, you will see him as he is. You will be changed. Not going to be because of our righteousness. It's because of God's promise, God's mercy, God's pardon for our sins. God called Isaiah. Isaiah was accepted. If God calls you, it means he's already accepted you. And you need to humbly accept that call to do the will of God. We live in a country that mocks the God who cannot be mocked. Admit our part of it, our sin, as we fall short of the glory of God, and then thank him for doing his will through us. Now, why do we do this? Well, we have the word of God. It's eternal. It's a promise. We have the will of God. His word is going to be done according to his timeline, according to his plan. So our part is to pray for the glory of God. We pray in order to focus our thoughts on God. God knows exactly what we need even before we ask. Again, why bother praying? He knows exactly what I need. He knows if Angie's pipes broke. She didn't know they were going to break before they did. God did. God will know whatever happens to me. He will know what I need. I pray because I understand God's timeline is not my timeline. God's will is God's will. It may not match mine. I need to change my will to His will. Prayer shows our reliance on God. Prayer shows our thankfulness to God. Our prayer acknowledges the truth of James 1:17, which tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It's because God's grace has allowed me to have it. Our prayer shows praise of a great and mighty God. Now we see Daniel praying and putting God's glory in front of every other request. He was confused. He was distraught. He was in distress. He's looking at Scripture that's not matching the current political situation, but God knew that would change quickly. But he came not once trying to put his own needs in front of God's. He wanted to glorify God. Verse 16, we see the desire of Daniel's heart. Turn God's anger from God's city and God's holy mountain. In verse 17, he has God's face would shine upon his sanctuary. Why? For his glory. In verse 18, the answer of prayer was not for his righteousness, but for God's great mercies, showing his character to a lost and dying world, showing that God was one that would pardon sins. Not for Daniel's sake, but for the city and thy great mercy, once again. He asked for forgiveness in each case, that the glory of God was prominent. Daniel asking for God's answer to prayer would glorify God's name by keeping his word true, and his people called by his name would be protected, and people of the world would see that there was a God in Israel that kept his promises to God's people even as God rebelled against him. We do not deserve his answers, but let us give us all praise, honor, and glory for whatever answer he gives us. Now, a similar prayer was offered by Moses on behalf of Israel after the golden calf. God came to Moses, and God threatened to destroy Israel for its idolatry. If you look at the golden calf, it was a pretty wicked time. And he was going to make a brand new nation under Moses. Moses begged for mercy, but mercy only to glorify the name of God. And by that prayer was answered. Turn back to Exodus chapter 32, verses 8 to 14. A pattern of a prayer we can do for our nation today. So Exodus chapter 32, looking at verse 8. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. And behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak? And say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath, and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Now, make no mistake, Moses did not disagree with God on their guiltiness. There was no evidence that Moses was saying this is a righteous people. Moses didn't even disagree on a need for punishment. He himself had 3,000 people killed for their sin. The judgment was brought forth by God's leading to Moses. He asked for God's mercy based on God's character, for God's glory in bringing God's people out of Egypt and keeping God's promises, that the world would know that this was a God that could not lie. So when praying for our nation, remember these prayers. I am guilty as an American. I am guilty of all the sin that we are committing as Americans. I'm part of this nation. I am guilty as a pastor for allowing ungodly actions inside the church and inside society without rebuke. As a citizen of this once great country founded under God's blessings and laws, let us pray that God will use us for His great glory. As we look at a new year, let us dedicate this for doing God's will. Let us dedicate it by studying God's word that we can understand God's will. And let us pray that we will glorify God by our actions, by our study, and that His will glorify Him. So we read all this. Daniel read Scripture and saw the next event in God's timeline. Went right to his knees to pray. Reading Scripture, he saw a sinful nation not deserving God's grace and with the wrong king on the throne. He went to God to ask forgiveness and ask God's will to be accomplished according to God's word for God's glory. And by his faithful prayer, he saw Judah return to build the temple and was given the 70 weeks to show the timeline that we now understand who the Messiah is, proving he's the Messiah, and that he will return after the 70th week. By his faithful prayer, we understand end times better today because of it. And by his faithful prayer, God found a faithful man to glorify his name and reveal his truth to us. Today we see the next event on God's timeline, the rapture followed by the 70th week of Daniel. With Daniel, we don't understand the entire process. With Daniel, we find ourselves in the midst of a sinful society, suffering under God's judgment. We see his word and understand the signs of the time and the times of the signs. Let us learn from Daniel as we pray and learn how to pray for God's glory in 2018. As we look at a new year, expecting Christ to return. Now, Tom already told me this morning. He said a few years ago, I think about 2 years, he'll probably return. He's holding me to that. Not my timeline, though. It's God's timeline. So let us pray expecting Christ's return. Working to compel people to the marriage supper of the Lamb as we are called to do so in Luke 14:23. Praising God as we see the world become spiritually more apostate, exactly as His word predicts. Knowing this must happen for Him to return. And let us pray that it's God's will, not ours, that is accomplished. We deserve nothing but judgment. But let us repent of our sins and provide our bodies as living sacrifice to accomplish His will. Not for our own glory, but living Jesus' words of Luke 17:10. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Well, to do our duty, we need to know our duty. To know our duty, we read His word, and we pray for His will to be done through us. We have no right to boast or demand anything as sinful men. Let us thank God that He even considers to do His will through us. In our prayers, let us glorify God in all we do, admitting our faults, praying His will is done to glorify Him in His eternal plan. Do so, He may use Berea in His great and mighty work. He is looking for faithful people to pray, admitting their faults and giving God all the glory. Isaiah knew that he was not worthy. Isaiah said, I am undone. But when God said, who will go for us? He said, here am I. Send me. I'm not worthy for any of His call. None of you are worthy for His call. But He will use you if you find yourself faithful and admit you're not worthy. That's who God uses. He doesn't use worthy men. Worthy men can bring the glory to themselves. We need to glorify Jesus Christ. With that, as we look to 2018, let us do the words of hymn number 326 and turn our eyes upon Jesus. First words of that song, O soul, are you weary and troubled? Daniel was weary and troubled. He did not understand what he was reading. He immediately went to God and prayed and had his answer. Are you weary and troubled ever? I am. We need to go to God. Go to God. He will answer the prayers. Daniel prayed. And can you imagine Gabriel tapping his shoulder? By the way, Daniel, I got an answer for you. Yeah? Daniel wasn't looking for that. He got it, though. We don't know how God will bless you. But if you do that, God will bless you. We need to make sure that we read His words so we can understand what His will is. Once we understand His will, ask for His will to be done, and we do all for the glory of God. Now, if there's anybody here who's not saved, haven't accepted that yet, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Because you can't. Today, make the day that God will pay for your sins, will make you a joint heir and a son of God, because you've accepted the blood of Christ as payment for your sins. If you've never done that, please see me right after the service, and I will show you exactly how to do it. But for now, looking at 2018, ask God what His will is for your life. do, and once you find out that will, go to the Word and find out how to accomplish that will, and make sure you do all for the glory of God. So we're going to go to Lord silent, go to Lord silently for prayer while Rich plays a verse, and I'll close this, and then we'll enjoy the bounty that God gives us on this earth with what has been cooked for us. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your word. By studying your word, we can understand you more. By understanding your word, we understand what's happening, why things are happening. We look at a world that is lost and dying, that has lost its corporate mind and has turned its back on the one who has created us and blessed us so. And Lord, as we look at that, we realize the next part of the timeline. The great apostasy that is happening is according to your word. And you will return soon, Lord. We don't exactly know what soon is, but we need to prepare. And Lord, we can only learn how to prepare by coming to your throne of grace, by understanding that we don't deserve the mercies you've given us, but we accept them. And we thank you for it, Lord. And then we desire to be used as a living sacrifice, to be used however you need to use us, that your will is accomplished on this earth. And as your will is accomplished on this earth, let us glorify you for your answer, realizing that you will soon return to make all things right, realizing you will soon return to banish sin forever, banish death forever, and that we will see you as you are. But in the meantime, Lord, we are weary. We are troubled. We don't exactly know what to do. But we have Jesus Christ who will lead us, guide us, and direct us. Let us come to your throne of grace often, Lord. Let us come to your throne of grace to accomplish your will and to glorify you for whatever answer you give us. And Lord, as we get ready to go downstairs and enjoy each other's company, let us realize that you are with us right now, and that everything that's happening is according to your will, and to glorify you, and that we will soon see you as you are. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.